If you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 19, we're going to begin reading this morning at verse 24. Verse 24, 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 24. It says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I to cry any more unto the king?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity once again to look into its pages. And I trust and pray that as we consider this passage of scripture, that you'll speak to our hearts through the work of your Holy Spirit. And I pray everybody here will receive something from the word of God this morning that will be a blessing and help and encouragement to them as they seek to live for you. So again, Lord, have your way in this preaching time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is one of the passages in the Old Testament that doesn't receive much attention. In these verses, we witness the reunion of King David and a man who loved King David more than he loved his own life. And in these few verses, there is a valuable lesson for the children of God. You see, by the testimony of this man named Mephibosheth, we're given a clear-cut example of how we, God's children, are to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a fact that we speak of our love and dedication to the Lord often. We often say, "I love the Lord." However, I'm not sure that we demonstrate that love for Jesus like we should. And that's the focus of this message. If we learn nothing else, I pray we would grasp the truth that we serve a risen Lord who is worthy of all the love and devotion that we can give to his glorious name. So let's look together at this episode in the life of Mephibosheth and look at what it teaches us about how to love the king. How to love the king. And the first thing we see is that we should love him with absolute devotion. Now, Mephibosheth demonstrates his devotion to King David in various ways. And I want us to try to understand the root of this all-consuming devotion that Mephibosheth showed for King David. What is the cause of his devotion? Well, the reason Mephibosheth was so devoted to David can be seen in what David had done for him. Now, I want you to go back with me. Keep a marker or keep your finger in chapter 19. We're going to be coming back to this. But go back to chapter 9 for a moment. Chapter 9 of 1 Samuel. Now, I preached on chapter 9 back earlier this year, using it as an illustration of the grace of God, and it's a great illustration of that. But I want to refresh your memory about what David had done for Mephibosheth. So if you've got 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And it was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now with that story, that background in our mind, go back to chapter 19 once again and look at verse 28. This is Mephibosheth speaking, For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? As the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth was in line to ascend to the throne of Israel. So in reality, he was a rival to David for the office of king. And yet David, instead of acting with justice and executing Mephibosheth, as he had other members of Saul's family, instead, King David extended grace to this little crippled man. David had every right to kill Mephibosheth. But because of his great love for Jonathan, Saul's son, Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan, his beloved friend who'd been killed in battle, David spared Mephibosheth's life. And not only did he spare his life, but he clothed him, he fed him, he sheltered him, he gave him lands and flocks and treated him like royalty. It was because of that David was so kind and so gracious and merciful and loving towards him. That's what caused Mephibosheth to be so devoted to him. You see, by all rights, David could have done just the opposite. He would have been justified in destroying Mephibosheth. Now, here's how this all applies to us. When the child of God stops and ponders just what God has done for him through Jesus, it's plain to see that we have more reason to love him with every fiber of our being than we can even imagine. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, John reminds us that our love for Jesus is rooted in the fact that Jesus first loved us. And so think of what you were before you came to Christ. and how you had sinned against the Lord. The truth is, if you and I got what we deserve today, we would all be in hell right now. So we owe Jesus a great debt of love and devotion. When you stop to think that Jesus willingly suffered all that he did on the cross, just so that we might be saved by grace, as Nate sang about just a few moments ago, it stirs the heart. Listen, if the fact that Jesus left the glories and wonders and splendors of heaven and came down to this wicked, evil earth and shed his blood and died on that cross for your sin and then rose again 3 days later so you could have forgiveness and eternal life and a home in heaven and peace and joy in your heart and a personal relationship with God. Listen, if that does not move your soul to love and worship the Lord, then there's a problem, a big problem with your heart. A big problem, because that is to be the cause of our devotion. The cause of our devotion. The fact that God was very gracious and merciful to us in providing us with salvation. The cause of devotion. But when we look at this story of Mephibosheth, we see in terms of his devotion to the Lord, we not only see the cause of his devotion, but we see what we'll call the course of his devotion. Because Mephibosheth loved the king, it showed in his life. Mephibosheth lived a life of total devotion and absolute faithfulness toward the king. And when you really love the king, when you really love the Lord Jesus, it'll show in your life. It'll show in your life. In other words, you won't have to run around constantly saying, I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. No, it won't need to be said, because it will be clearly seen in everything you do. It'll be seen in your prayer life, your desire to spend time talking with God. It'll be seen in your commitment to study his word. It'll be seen in your witnessing life, in your desire to tell others about Jesus. It'll be seen in your manner of life, your demeanor, the way you live. It'll be seen in your actions, your attitudes, your words. And it'll be seen in the importance you place upon the worship of the Lord. All I'm saying is that when we're in love with Jesus wholeheartedly, it can't be hidden. It can't be hidden. It'll tell on you. It'll tell on you. So the question is, what does your life say about your love for the Lord? We ought to love King Jesus like Mephibosheth loved King David. So we love him with absolute devotion, with a deep sense of affection and loyalty and faithfulness. Now, secondly, we are to love him with absolute dedication. Dedication. There are three ways in which Mephibosheth demonstrates his dedication to King David. And these traits ought to be seen in God's children today in their dedication to God. First of all, Mephibosheth forsook the world. As the grandson of Saul, and with the political turmoil that was evident in the nation of Israel at that time, Mephibosheth had every right to lay claim to the throne. Yet because he loved the king, he refused to get caught up in the affairs of the world. He placed his devotion to the king ahead of any selfish ambitions that he may have possessed. And what a lesson for the church. There's always a danger that our connection with the world will override our dedication to Jesus. So we've got to be careful that the love of the world doesn't steal our love for Jesus. Now, I understand we have to live in this world. There's no escaping that truth. However, when the world begins to live in us, that is, when our desire for the things and the thrills of this world is allowed to take the place of prominence and precedence in our life, I guarantee you, it will quickly override our love for the Lord. And so we've got to be careful. It is always to be the Lord first, not the world. Not the world. Now, the Apostle John warns us about that in 1 John 2:15 when he says, love not the world. Now, when it says love not the world, it's talking about not loving the ways of this world. You know, the ways that are opposite of God's ways. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. We don't want to let the material things of this world take precedence over God in our life. You know, we got to remember that everything we see materially, we're going to leave behind. Going to be burned up in the judgment one day, right? So we don't want to make that the focus of our lives. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't want to let the love of the world take precedence over our love for God. And Mephibosheth, he teaches us that lesson. Mephibosheth forsook the world. And then also, you'll notice here that Mephibosheth forgot himself. He forgot himself. According to verse 24, the entire time David was away, which was a period of several months, Mephibosheth neglected himself as a way of mourning for David. Look at it in verse 24. It says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And the lesson here is that our will should be swallowed up in the will of the Lord. We're to come to the place where we lose sight of ourselves and of our own interests and become consumed with and focused on the Lord himself. We just simply need to come to the place where we say, Jesus is more important than we are. And Jesus becomes so real to us that we actually lose sight of ourselves and give all to Jesus. And just come to grips with the fact that it's not all about us. It's all about him. It's all about him. So he forsook the world. He forgot himself. And then this, he followed the king. Now please remember that this man is crippled. When David had to leave Jerusalem because of his son Absalom's rebellion, Mephibosheth tried to go to David. However, Ziba, his servant, deceived Mephibosheth and went to David alone. And Ziba even tried to discredit his master Mephibosheth before King David. Yet Mephibosheth gave his heart to the task of following the king. See, true devotion doesn't ask why, how, where, what, or when. True devotion to the Lord Jesus simply responds by saying, yes. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll give what you want me to give. It's saying yes to the Lord. I'm reminded of a chorus that I love this little chorus. It simply goes like this. It says, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. That's what I'm talking about here. True dedication to the Lord simply responds by saying yes. And I wonder if there might be someone here this morning that the Lord is speaking to you about this. I wonder, has the Lord been dealing with you about doing something for him? And have you been putting it off? Can I give you this word of advice? Don't fool around with the call of God. Don't fool around with the call of God. If he's leading to do for you to do something for his glory, whatever that might be witnessing to a particular lost person, right? Might be getting involved in a particular ministry. Might be leading a Bible study. Or it might be something as simple as beginning to tithe or weeding the garden in front of the church. But whatever it is, if God is leading you to do something for him, don't put it off. Simply step up today and say, Lord, because I love you, I will do what you're asking. I'm making myself available to you for your work and for your glory. That is absolute dedication. And so we're to love him with absolute devotion. We're to love him with absolute dedication. And third and finally this morning, we are to love him with absolute delight. Absolute delight. Mephibosheth looked rough on the outside, but his heart was glowing with the love he had for King David. And by this, he sets an example for those of us who claim to know the Lord Jesus, and not just as our Savior, but also Lord and Master and King of our lives. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but we're in much the same shape as Mephibosheth. Our King, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for us, is in heaven with the Father. And the day is coming, and I believe coming soon, when he will return to this earth and will be seen by his children. And I want us to consider the attitudes that need to fill our hearts as we wait for him to come back. Attitudes that are illustrated in the story of Mephibosheth. First of all, he looked for the king. He looked for the king. It's apparent from the story that Mephibosheth lived with anticipation of the king's return to Jerusalem. It consumed his thoughts and controlled his life. That's what verse 24 was all about. He spent his days not being concerned about himself, but he spent his days waiting to hear the herald declare the news, the king is coming. And may I remind you that our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also coming one day. He's returning. And I don't know about you, but I'm longing for that heavenly shout and that trump of God. I'm looking forward to taking a ride through the sky to a better country. And you know what? I hope it happens soon so I can cheat the Undertaker. Because to be honest, I'm not looking for the Undertaker. I'm looking for the Upper Taker. For the Upper Taker. Mephibosheth looked for the king. I hope you are too. I hope you are too. Now, the next thing we see, not only that he looked for the king, but he longed for the king. Mephibosheth's heart's desire was to see the king once again. And this is proven by his statement in verse 30. It says this, "And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." He didn't care about his land or money. All he cared for was to see the face of the king. I wonder, does that describe our heart's desire today? Are we longing for the king? Are we longing for the king? And then you'll also notice this about Mephibosheth. And we've already mentioned this a little bit. He loved the king. He loved the king. Mephibosheth truly loved King David. And he proved this when he made the comments that are recorded in verse 27. It says, "And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king." Notice now, "But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." He was willing to entrust the king to make all the right decisions. And I'll tell you what, nothing proves love for Jesus like a life that is surrendered to the will of God, no matter come what may. So the question is, do you love him enough to trust him with your life? Are you willing to follow his direction and his leading, no matter what that might be? And so he looked for the king. He longed for the king. He loved the king. And I think here's my favorite. He looked upon the king. Mephibosheth lived long enough to see his desire become reality. He got to see the king when he returned. That's all he cared about. Just to see the king. And just as Mephibosheth's dream became a reality, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trusted him as your Lord and Savior, then one day your dream is going to become reality. One glorious day, we will stand in the presence of the one who climbed Calvary's hill for us, and we'll see him face to face, and we'll worship him forever in the beauty of holiness. What a day that will be. But I have a question this morning. I have to ask you this. Are you saved? Are you saved? Because if not, then you don't even know the king. And you are definitely not ready to meet him. And the first step for you is coming to him and asking him into your heart to be your personal savior. If you'll come to him and trust in the fact that he shed his blood and died on that cross for your sins and then rose again 3 days later so you could be forgiven and have eternal life and a home in heaven, if you'll call out to him and let him know you believe that, and call out to him and invite him to come into your heart to be your Savior and Lord, I guarantee you he'll save you. He'll forgive all your sins and make you part of God's family and give you the right and the privilege to really look for his return with hope and joy in your heart. So don't put him off another moment. Right now, right where you are, if you've never done so before, in prayer, call out to the Lord Jesus and invite him into your heart and life to be your Savior. But here's my final question this morning. If you are saved, you are a Christian, you remember that day when you called out to Christ and received him into your heart, what is the state of your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Does your life demonstrate genuine devotion, genuine dedication, genuine delight in serving the Lord? If not, then Jesus allows us the great opportunity to begin again. If you'll come to him and confess your failures and sins, he'll forgive you and he'll restore you to the place of blessing. I trust you want to do the right thing, and the right thing is coming back to the Lord, rededicating yourself to him. Let him have your life completely and fully, and if you will, he'll bless you and he'll use you. But you know what? The choice is yours. Nobody else can make that choice for you. So what will you do with the message that the Lord has sent your way today? If you're not a Christian, your answer will determine the course of your eternity. And if you are a Christian, your answer will certainly determine the course of your life down here. And so my challenge is this: make the right choice. Make the right choice. Learn from the story of Mephibosheth how to love the king. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to take the lessons that we've learned and apply them to our lives. Lord, you are so worthy of all the love and devotion and dedication that we could possibly give. Help us to surrender our lives to you. Help us to live for you and love you the way you so rightfully deserve. Help us as your people to put you first in our lives above everything and anyone that could possibly take the place that you deserve. Lord, help us never to put anything ahead of you. Help us to love you with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. And then, Lord, we do pray that if there's somebody here this morning in church or somebody listening by way of the internet that has never received Christ as their Savior, I pray that this morning they'd see this to be their greatest need and they would open up their heart and pray, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for my sin and I believe you rose again the third day so I could have eternal life. Please come into my heart, save my soul, cleanse me, forgive me, give me eternal life and a home in heaven. Make me one of your children. I trust you and you alone for my salvation. Lord, I know if they'll come to you that way, you're not going to turn them away. Because you don't turn people away who come to you in faith. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody who's listening, whether in the church building or on the internet, I pray they would come to know Jesus in a personal way today as Savior and Lord of their lives. And so, Father, again, help us to love you the way you deserve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.